in this chapter, Exodus chapter 1, we see the children of Israel have gone down into Egypt. Of course, they went down into Egypt at the end of Genesis, and the Bible is very clear. There were 70 people that descended from Jacob, 70 souls out of the loins of Jacob. And he lists, of course, the 12 sons and their families with their wives and children and different people. The ones who descended from Jacob were 70 souls. They're down in Egypt, and of course, that whole generation dies. Joseph dies, and there arises another king in Egypt, Pharaoh, who does not know anything about Joseph. He's from a totally different generation. And during that time, the children of Israel have multiplied and grown just phenomenally from 70 people to being just a great multitude. Hundreds of years go by. And as these hundreds of years pass, the children of Israel are just multiplying greatly. Time really dims the memory of things in the past. If you stop and think about it, the children of Israel were in Egypt for a total of 430 years. To the day, to the exact day, the Bible tells in Exodus 12. 430 years. But they were not afflicted all of that time. But if you stop and think about it, a few hundred years going by, think about a few hundred years ago. That would be like the 1700s, okay? So Joseph had really helped out the children of Egypt back hundreds of years before. But would we really have allegiance to somebody who helped us out like 300 years ago? No. So you can see how these people arose, a new generation in Egypt that didn't really have any thankfulness toward the Israelites and just decided, hey, these people are going to be our slaves. They're going to be our bond servants. They're not one of us. And so we're going to use them for free labor. And they basically were enslaving them, but they kept multiplying faster than the Egyptians. So the Egyptians started to get worried and say, hey, there's more of them than there are of us. We need to really clamp down on these people. We need to really make them serve hard and beat them and really work them hard so that they won't have any power. And not only that, they said, we need to make sure that they quit growing the population. There's way too many. So we're going to start aborting the male children, is basically what they're saying. You know, they're telling the midwives who are helping the women give birth, you know, if it's a male child, kill it. You know? And then they move on. When that doesn't work, they take it to the next level. Hey, just throw it in the river after it's born. So these very wicked people that would murder human life. But what's interesting to me is that the children of Egypt, okay, they were a huge, mighty nation before Jacob and them even got there. They were the most powerful nation in the world. And how did 70 people over the course of 430 years multiply to the point where there were millions of them? You know, the Bible tells us that there were 600,000 men of war, you know, between the ages of 20 to 50. So if you take all their wives and children and the elderly, we're talking about millions of people. We're talking about several million people. Just from 70 to several million in 400 years or less. And then we've got the children of Egypt not keeping pace with that. The children of Israel, or the children of Egypt not multiplying in that way to where the children of Israel passed up an entire nation. Can you imagine if 70 people moved into Arizona and then all of a sudden, a few hundred years went by and there were more of them than the original inhabitants? It's pretty amazing growth. And you see, what I want to preach about, I think this is very interesting in light of today's world that we live in, because there is an agenda today pretty much to do the same thing that Pharaoh was trying to do in Exodus chapter 1.
That's right.
When we look at the world system here, the world system has an agenda to stop God's people from multiplying. Just like they did in Exodus 1. They said, we don't want God's people to multiply. Hey, let's deal wisely with them. Let's get them to stop multiplying. And in this case, they used, you know, abortion and infanticide to do that. But listen, the devil doesn't want God's people to multiply. He doesn't want to be outnumbered with God's people and God's people swarming the land. And so there's an agenda today all across the world to try to brainwash you and to try to deceive you into not having children. And I'm going to show that throughout the Bible. I'm going to show that through many scriptures where God tells us that it's a blessing to have children. Amen. That we ought to be multiplying, that we ought to grow, that we ought to get married and have children and so forth. But the world today doesn't want that. And so they want to discourage that and get you to believe all kinds of lies to stop you from having children. Now, let me get into what some of those lies are. And I'll get into many commands where the Bible tells us that, Jody. But one of those lies is that the world is overpopulated today. Now go to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1. This is the environmentalist is going to cram this lie down your throat and try to say, oh, the world's overpopulated and we need to stop having children in order that we could have a sustainable planet. Well, I've got news for the environmentalists. This planet's not going to be here forever.
Right. Right.
The Bible says, heaven and earth shall pass away. And the environmentalist today, which is a religion worshiping nature, basically believes that this world's going to be here forever, or for billions of years. And so we got to be able to sustain that. No, I just trust God. If God tells us to multiply, if God tells us to have children, I'm just going to have children. And you know what? I know that God's going to pull the trigger and end this thing before it gets completely swarmed with people, before there's too many people. Let me prove to you that the world is not overpopulated right now. Go to Deuteronomy 1. And all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, the Bible says. There are many people who just read over stuff like this and they don't always give it a second thought. But I remember when I first thought about this verse, it really blew me away. When I actually grasped what he was saying. It says in verse 9 of Deuteronomy 1, "And I spake unto you at that time, saying, I am not able to bear you myself alone." This is Moses speaking. "The Lord your God has multiplied you, and behold, you are this day as the stars of heaven for multitude." Look at this parenthesis. This is what I want to focus on, the parenthesis. "The Lord God of your fathers make you 1,000 times so many more as you are, and bless you as he hath promised you." Exclamation point. Okay? Remember, isn't that how you found our church, Brother Stack? You heard me saying, somebody tried to say there's no explanation points in the Bible. There's a lot of explanation points in the Bible. And this is one of them. He says, yeah, let's make it 1,000 times as many as you are right now. Now, he's talking to the children of Israel right after they came out of Egypt. They had just multiplied from 70 people unto millions of people. Remember, we know there were 600,000 men of war in that certain prime of life age group, okay? 20 to 50. Hey, if you're under 50, you're still in the prime of life, okay? If you're over 50, you know, you're still hanging in there, all right? No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, the bottom line is, he had multiplied them unto millions. Because if you take this, you know, if you do the math and figure out, okay, if there's 600,000 guys between 20 and 50, we're talking 3, 4, 5 million, you know, whatever you want to say. Okay, multiply that by 1,000. What's 4 million times 1,000? 4 billion, okay? And that's not the whole world, my friend. That's one nation. God is the one who divided the nations in Genesis 10. And in the book of Psalms, he says that when he divided the nations, he divided up their inheritance according to the number of the children of Israel. So when God divided up the inheritance, he didn't plan on the children of Israel being the only people on this planet. He said, there's going to be the children of Israel. And he divided the nations at the Tower of Babel into all different nations, and he gave them different areas. Like, he told the Jews, he said, don't go into the land of Ammon. He said, that's their land. I've given them that land. He told them, don't go in the land of Moab. That is for the children of Lot. He told them, stay out of this land. Stay out. This is your land. Okay, this is your area. And we see here that one nation, the children of Israel, God's will here, God's blessing upon them was that they would be multiplied 1,000 times what they were, which is like 4 or 5 billion. Now look, people say, oh man, you know, our world's so overpopulated because we have, you know, 7 billion people. But you know what? God already foresaw that. God already predicted that. God said, that's great. Bring it on. And you see, we're afraid today that the world's overpopulated only because of being brainwashed, that's the case. You see, certain parts of the world could be overpopulated if everybody's all jammed in one place. But anybody who's driven around this country, and I've driven the length and breadth of this country, I've driven almost every major road in the United States, in all the states except three that I haven't been to, Maine, Alaska, and Hawaii. But other than that, I mean, I have driven all over this country for work over the past several years.
Pastor, I did a mathematical analysis of Maricopa County.
Uh-huh.
You could put the entire world's population in Maricopa County with streets and
yeah, I've heard somebody do a similar calculation of the city limits of Jacksonville, Florida, and say you could literally fit every person in Maricopa County. Now, you know, you don't want to live that way. It's not going to be very comfortable. But just to give you a perspective, of on this whole globe, everybody could be in one county. And if you stop and think about it, you drive across this country, even California, the most populous state today, California is empty. I mean, literally, you got these big mega cities of San Francisco, I have speech impediment, LA, Sacramento, you know, everybody's all jammed in. But you know what? North of Sacramento, it's just all forest. There's nothing. No big cities. All the whole Central Valley is all farmland. The whole Southern California is desert. Texas, have you ever been to Texas? It's empty. There's nothing there. New Mexico, give me a break. I mean, the whole thing is empty. Even on the East Coast, when you're between cities, man, it's just farmland, empty. You know, there's plenty of room in this world. Okay? And that's not the problem. It's just that people are being herded and jammed into cities, and then they call 90% of it some wildlife reserve. You say, preach the Bible. Okay, go to Isaiah 40. I'll preach the Bible to you. You see, they herd us into a big city and then tell us the world's overpopulated because people are living on top of each other in a big city, you know? And Brother Davis, I'm not for your plan of moving the whole world to Maricopa County. But no, I'm just kidding. Anyway, the bottom line is, God formed it to be inhabited, he tells us, in Isaiah chapter number 40. Somebody help me out. Where's that verse? I'm losing it here. Isaiah chapter 40. Whoever finds it first is the true Bible scholar. They're the I will consider them the Bible expert, the Bible guru. Maybe it's in chapter 41. Somebody help me out here. Does anybody know the Bible here? I didn't have this one in my notes. It just popped into my mind, and I thought I knew exactly where it was. What is it? Matt, are you the one? Is it? No, that's not it.
17.
That's a cool verse, though. I like that.
Yeah,
somebody, let's read this while we're waiting for somebody to find the one I'm actually looking for, where it says, formed it to be inhabited. Verse 15, behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket. So he's saying, like, it's just a drop of water on a hot stove, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted him less than vanity. Nothing, less than nothing in vanity. Somebody help me. Does anybody know where this verse is, or am I just totally in the wrong part of the Bible? Good night. Anyway, you're just going to have to take my word for it. Look it up when you get home. I don't have it in front of me, but the Bible talks about all the nature, and he talks about the wilderness, and he says he formed it to be inhabited. He said God created this world to be inhabited. You got it, Brother Sosi?
45:18.
Man, you went all the way to chapter 45. That's where it is. Okay. There we go. Excellent. Isaiah 45:18. For thus saith the Lord God, or the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord and there's none. So why did God create this world? Why did he create it? To be inhabited. To be filled with man. When he created man in Genesis 1, he said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over everything that creepeth upon the earth. He said, rule over the earth, rule over the animals, rule over the plants. He said, every green herb I've given it to you for meat. He said, I gave it to you for food, the green herb. Later on, he said, I've given you the beast of the field, to you it shall be for meat. God created this world for mankind, not to be some kind of a nature preserve. You know, I'm not saying to just destroy nature, but he formed it to be inhabited, to be lived in. But today, you've got the United States being emptied out, huge sections where it's like, sorry, can't do anything with this. Can't touch it. Be herded into this city. You know, be herded into the big, and then we'll tell you how overpopulated you are. You know, and that's the thing today. There's an agenda to lie to you and to say the world's overpopulated. If you have children, you know, you're somehow harming the environment by having children. You know, you have too big of a carbon footprint. You know, you're making this big overpopulation problem even worse today. That's a big lie. We see it in the Bible. He formed it to be inhabited. He said, multiply and take over the place. And you know, the Bible told the children of Israel, whenever they first went into the promised land of Canaan, he said, I'm not going to let you take it over immediately. He said, I'm going to let you take it over little by little. Because he said, if you take over the whole thing, then the beasts of the field will begin to take over. You know, and I've actually seen this. There was a story in the news about Detroit, Michigan, that in Detroit, Michigan, so many people had moved out of Detroit and out of the inner city that the animals were starting to take over in Detroit. You know, because if you don't, we moved into a house one time that hadn't been lived in about a year, and it was filled with weird bugs and just there were more than usual insects and creatures. Because they begin to take over when there's no human beings there, they take over. Okay. And so in Detroit, there were just, you know, wild animals just walking down the street, just roaming the streets, you know, big giant animals. And I don't know if it was lions and tigers and bears or what, but some kind of animals were just walking around in the streets of Detroit. And God said, I don't want that to happen to you. So he said, I'm going to let you take it over little by little. That tells me that God has a program whereby man moves in and the animals move out to an area. You know what I mean? Because right now, yeah, animals live there because no people live there. But when people move in, the animals move out. And the people displace the animals. Sounds great to me. I mean, what's the problem with that? But we've been so brainwashed. That's what the Bible teaches, okay? So the bottom line is the world's not overpopulated. That's a lie of the devil. But then there's another lie that the devil's going to try to tell God's people. To get them not to multiply. To get them not to have children. The first one is, world's overpopulated. You know, carbon footprint. You're destroying the environment. Number two, the second lie that he'll tell them is this. You can't afford it. You can't afford children. And this is a big one among Christians. Because a lot of Christians are not the dupes of the environmental movement. Well, I hope not. But a lot of Christians, they get sucked into this one that says, you know, I just don't know if I can afford having a child. Go to Philippians chapter 4. And we could spend a whole sermon on this one. I mean, we could go all over the Bible. I'm just going to hit a few highlights here of God promising to provide. And God has promised to provide for us. He said in the book of Psalms, we're not going to turn there for sake of time, but he said, I've been young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. God has always provided for his people and their children. He rained manna from heaven to feed his people in the Old Testament. And you don't believe that he can feed and clothe you, O ye of little faith, when he fed people with bread that fell from heaven, when he sent swarms of quail, when he sent water out of a rock to feed 5 million people? Can he feed you? Can he feed five people? No, we're only going to have two kids because he can't feed five. He can only feed four. Even though he fed 5 million? How do you feed 5 million people in a desert? How do you feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes? But he did it. Amen. And if God can feed 5,000 men, grown men, with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, can he feed you? Can he feed your child? Can he feed you if you have one more child? Or are you just going to have, you know, us four and no more? Okay. You know, and let's see what the Bible says here in Philippians chapter 4. Let me turn there. It's a really famous verse. You probably already heard it many times. It says in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So he has all the riches, and he is talking about a physical need here. If you get into the context here, he's talking about food. He's talking about living supplies, because he talks about how they had supplied his physical need, and they had given him food and taken care of him. And he says, hey, God's going to supply your need according to his riches in glory. God owns the wealth in every mine and the cattle on 1,000 hills. God can feed you. God can provide and take care of you. Of course, we ought to work. You know, the Bible tells us, 6 days shalt thou labor. You know, the Bible tells us to go out and work by the sweat of our face all the days of our life. But he will provide. He will take care of us. So we don't have to worry about this thing. Well, I can't afford it. I'm afraid of the economy. You know, today's economy can discourage people, right? You know, oh, it's uncertainty. I don't know if I want to bring a child into this world. Hey, God's going to provide the need.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 6, go ahead and turn there. Another great passage on God's provision. Amen. So we already debunked God's first, or, I mean, not God, good night, the God of this world, you know. The rulers of the darkness of this world's lie. Hey, the world's overpopulated. We've got to reduce the population. And by the way, the people who run the media, that's what they believe. You know who owns a lot of the cable TV channels? Ted Turner. And Ted Turner said, we need to reduce the world's population by 80%. What are you going to do, kill everybody? How are you going to reduce it by 80%? People are having children every day. He literally wants people to follow, he wants to kill 80% of the population, I guess. And I mean, these people who run the media, Ted Turner, multi-billionaire who owns a lot of the cable TV channels, you know, and these other guys, Bill Gates, other multi-billionaire who donates to charity. No, he's donating to a bunch of abortion and infanticide. He donates to population reduction and poisonous vaccines. That's what he donates to. That's his charitable giving. He gives it unto Satan as a charity and then writes it off on his taxes. That's what really happens. And so today, we've got these people who are the rulers of the darkness of this world promoting this lie not to have children. And we got to reduce the population to 500 million. Well, let's start with you, Ted Turner.
Yeah,
you know, let's bring it down from 7 billion to 699,999,999. And then let's talk about the next step. But see, that's not what they want. They want it to be somebody, they want it to be some black baby in Africa. That's where they want to start. They want to abort it. Okay? So that's what they're really all about. But anyway, bunch of racist monsters who started Planned Parenthood for the reduction of other races. It's on the record. Margaret Sanger is a eugenicist.
Right.
She was the one who inspired the Nazis. And she's the founder of the Birth Control Federation of America, a.k.a. Planned Parenthood. That's what it used to be called. Look at Matthew 6 on God's provision. We already took care of that lie. I wanted to just come back and just kick that around a few more times. But now we're back on God's provision. Hey, God can provide. Matthew chapter 6, I love this chapter.
Amen.
It says in verse number, let me get there. Give me one second here, I gotta find my place. It says in verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? And by the way, environmentalists, I am better than an animal.
Amen.
He said, aren't you better than bird, some bird? And I know it evolved into a dinosaur or whatever stupid thing they think. But you know what? I'm better than animals. I'm not some evolved species. I'm a man created in the image of God. Evolution's a lie. And let me tell you something. I am better than them. And if God can feed the fowl of the air, he can feed me, and he can feed my child, and he can feed my family.
Amen.
And he said right here, which of you, verse 27, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought. Did he say take some thought? Take a little thought? Take no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. He said in verse number 31, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. The Bible's teaching us here, hey, God will take care of it. Don't worry about it. You seek first the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Do what God told you to do. Go out and work by the sweat of your face day and night, by the sweat of your brow, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Work, preach the gospel to every creature, read your Bible, pray, go to church, and put God's commandments and God's work first. And he says, I'll give you all that. I'll take care of it.
Amen.
You don't have to worry about it. So wait a minute. If God told us to have children, are you telling me that I need to sit and take a bunch of thought whether, oh, well, I don't know if I can afford this. When we had our first child, we couldn't afford it. You know, but we just did what we were supposed to do, and God provided. And I got a raise at my job, you know, and God stepped in. The second child, couldn't afford it. Third child, couldn't afford it. Fourth child, if you're waiting until you can afford it to have children, well, just, okay, well, you know, you're going to be waiting a really long time. You know, because most people, you know, are always going to be living paycheck to paycheck. I mean, that's life.
Amen.
And so you can't sit there and say, well, I'm just waiting until I'm all financially secure and everything, all my ducks are in a row. You know, I'll just get my kids in a row there, and then I'll worry. You know, I'm not trying to get my ducks in a row financially. I'll just, you know, and I'm telling you, this is probably the biggest reason right here.
That's right.
This one that we're on right now, why people want to do it. They say, man, I just don't think I can afford it. I don't know if I want to take that chance, this economy and so forth. You know, I can't provide. Hey, God will provide, but wait a minute, are you seeking first the kingdom of God? You know, that's the thing. I mean, if you're going to blow off God and blow off His commandments and blow off, you know, church and blow off soul winning and blow off your Bible reading, well, you know what? Then maybe God's not going to add all these things unto you. You know, and if you were too lazy to go to work, you know, there's not much God can do for you. But, you know, if you're going to get out there and work and serve God and do what you're supposed to, God's going to provide. He said He'll provide food, and He said He'll provide clothing. He'll provide both, according to Matthew 6. So these are some of the lies that the devil's out there telling. You know, in Egypt, you know, they were doing some of the same stuff they're doing today, the abortion, the infanticide. That stuff goes on today. That's part of the agenda. But see, they've also got another agenda of just, well, we'll just convince them through TV. See, the problem is Pharaoh didn't have TV. Because if Pharaoh would have been living today, he could have said, well, let's just get a TV in every home. Let's just brainwash everybody. Let's just tell them that the environment of the Nile River is, you know, is not going to work out or it's not sustainable. Let's just put a TV in their home and tell them that they can't afford it or whatever. And he brainwashed them in that way. And you know what's funny to me? When people see me sometimes with, you know, people have their little smart aleck remarks, they'll see me because I have 6 children, and they'll say, well, you need to get a TV. Who's ever heard that one before? And it's funny because it seems like, well, what does the one have to do with the other, you know? But basically, you know what? They didn't mean it that way, but there's more truth in that than you think. Yeah, get a TV and get brainwashed. And get brainwashed with the world system instead of God's word, telling you what's really going on, telling you which way really is up. You know, get your head in the TV, you know, and whatever. And so that's the type of stuff that you'll hear. But I want to get on to some other points here. First of all, number one was just that, you know, the world, you know, this environmental, eugenicist, new world order, brainwashing spin of whatever, just trying to tell you don't have kids because of the environment, okay? Because that's our God that we worship, Mother Nature, instead of Father God here, Heavenly Father that's going to provide everything. And then number two was like, you know, okay, you can't afford it, it's going to be a burden, you can't, hey, you know, I don't know if you're going to, okay? But the next thing I want you to see is that the other lie is that it's not a command of God. People will lie to you, and churches will lie to you and say, well, it's just up to you. Don't let anybody tell you. And there's what I think is so funny about this one. I grew up an independent fundamental Baptist. You know, I've been to plenty of independent fundamental Baptist churches. And they're always really strong on this one thing. They'll always say this. You need to pray about what God wants you to do with your life. Who's heard that kind of preaching before? The whole room goes, you know. You need to pray and see God's will about attending Bible college. Or what God wants you to do with your life. You need to pray about that because, you know, you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God. And you need to pray about, you know, what God wants you to do with your life because God might want you to do that, you know, be a preacher, missionary, you know, whatever. Come on. We've all heard that. But, you know, it's all you got to get God's will. And they say, when it comes to getting married, boy, you got to marry the person that's God's will for your life. Make sure that that girl or that guy is God's will. Who's heard that kind of preaching? You know, it's pretty common. You know, oh yeah, you got to make sure it's God's will. But when it comes to having kids, it says, well, how many do you want? What do you want to do? I mean, that's a pretty important decision, wouldn't you think? Having children is a pretty major, I mean, bringing an eternal soul into this world, an eternal creature that will always exist forever. And they just say, well, you know, don't let anybody, you know, that's a personal decision between you and your doctor or what, you know. I don't have a doctor. You know, I don't get together with my doctor. I get together with my wife here. She's my doctor. You know, I get together with her, you know, about family planning. You know? And we just plan on just expanding it. You know what I mean? It's called being normal. It's called getting married and, you know, going to bed with your wife. It's called what God planned in the Bible, okay? But, you know, we got all this preaching today that preaches that everything we do should be in God's will for our life. And, you know, hey, amen. Follow God's will for your life. Live according unto God's will. But why all of a sudden this blackout on God's will, where God just has no opinion? Yeah, just have one, have two, three, whatever you want, whatever you think you can afford. That doesn't line up with the Bible at all. And I'm going to prove it to you right now with many, many scriptures that tell us that that is not the truth. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter number 5. And, you know, even if we just went back to Genesis, even if we just went back to the first chapter of the Bible, the first thing God told Adam and Eve, you know, in the Bible as you're reading in Genesis 1 is be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. You say, well, I think that was a command just for Adam and Eve. Well, I'll prove to you right now that that was not just for Adam. Because he said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Now, what does the word replenish mean? To fill again. Not just fill, but to refill. Now, had there ever been anybody on this earth filling this earth before Adam and Eve? No way. Adam was the first man. Eve was the first woman. So how can they multiply and replenish? Because he's not just talking to them. He's talking to all of mankind and saying, first you're going to fill it, and then you're going to refill it. And then you're going to refill it. And then you're going to refill it. So God's command there is not just to one man. Adam and Eve, fill up this whole earth. It's not going to happen. And a lot of your modern Bibles, they're going to change replenish. They don't understand replenish, so we'll just change it. You know, just fill. Nope, it's refill. It's replenish the earth. And so God is giving a command to mankind to multiply and then replenish. It's a two-step process. First you multiply, then people start dying, and then you replenish it out, and then you keep refilling and refilling and refilling. Noah got off the ark. He was told the same thing. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish. You say, well, I think it was just for those two people. Well, if you get into Exodus 1, he said the children of Israel were fruitful and multiplied. Where'd they get that crazy idea? Why did those 70 people go into Egypt and get this crazy idea to be fruitful and multiply? Maybe they were just still following that commandment that they got from back in the days of Genesis, in the early days. And that commandment of God's prophets had been preached and passed down, and they kept on multiplying. You see, the world, Egypt always represents worldliness, ungodliness, wickedness. Egypt is not multiplying at all. Their population is getting smaller. Israel's population is getting larger. You see the contrast there? And even today, you can go on Planned Parenthood's website. And if you get on Planned Parenthood's website, it will tell you that the oldest birth control that they can find in archaeology is in ancient Egypt. They say that that's where the IUD was invented. The intrauterine device was invented in ancient Egypt. And that's straight from Planned Parenthood's website itself, teaching you that Egypt originated. Now, I don't think that that's where it originated necessarily. You know, it could have gone back further than that. Because, hey, man's wickedness goes all the way back, my friend. But I'll tell you right now, there is even physical archaeological evidence of birth control being promoted in Egypt, and yet we see God's people being fruitful and multiplying. Look what it says in 1 Timothy chapter 5. Remember, this is the God who has no opinion, no opinion about whether or not you have children or not, according to many preachers and people. Verse 14 says, I will therefore, 1 Timothy 5:14, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some are already turned aside after Satan. So the Bible there is telling young women, hey, get married and have a career. Is that what it said? He said, get married, bear children, and guide the house. And that's the kind of values that we used to have in our country. That's the kind of values that used to be in churches and in Christianity. It's been replaced by the world system. It's been replaced by leaning upon our own understanding. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Not the world's wisdom. The wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. God says the best thing that a young woman can do is get married, bear children, and guide the house. That's what the Bible says. That's what my wife does. That's what I'm raising my daughters to be, by the way. See, you want to be uneducated. My children are extremely well-educated. My wife is extremely well-educated. She speaks several languages. She knows all kinds of math and science and history and these different subjects. You know, she teaches the children in homeschooling. She learns right along with them. Sometimes I'll be in the other room working, and I'll hear her, you know, reading unto the children, and I'm learning things. You know, as she in-depth educates them in the history, the facts of the past, and the science, and the math, and the geography. Hey, women can be much more knowledgeable and educated than, you know, just through reading and through Bible study, and you know, they're probably going to get more educated staying at home all day, homeschooling the children, then they're really going to get educated out in that cubicle. You know, boy, at that phone center, they come home every day and they're quoting Plutarch, and they're quoting Caesar, and they're quoting, you know, boy, they're just really quoting. They come home speaking Latin, you know, from that job at the car wash. You know what I mean? It's like, get real. You can get more educated. It's called picking up a book and reading it. It's the only way anyone learns anything. I know everybody's got to have a computer and an iPad to learn anything, and we got to have, you know, a DVD. No, it's called picking up a book and reading it. That's how people really get educated, my friend. And it's not by going to Devil State University in Tempe or Satan U in some other city. You know, it's by God's word. You know, the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge, it's the fear of God. And they don't fear God at Devil State. They don't fear God at Satan U. They fear God at Faithful Word Baptist Church. They fear God in your home and in my home and in the homes of America and in the libraries of America, where people can pick up books and read and learn and fill their mind with real knowledge, fill their mind with real facts and information, not just a brainwashing session of worldliness and ungodliness. And so, the Bible here, you know, I don't know what that had to do with the sermon, but women need to bear children. The Bible tells us so. The Bible tells me so. And you know, all throughout the Bible, we see this. Go back, if you would. Let me find my place in my notes here. I got pages and pages of notes here. But the Bible tells us over and over. Oh, go to Genesis 24:60. Genesis chapter 24, verse 60. This is an interesting verse. Genesis 24:60. And here's what's funny. You can't really find a verse telling you not to have kids in the whole Bible. I've never seen it yet. I challenge anyone to show me a verse where it says, hey, you know, don't have children. Stop at two. Stop after one. You know, people ask me all the time, when are you going to stop? Are you going to stop now? First, we had three boys. So then they just thought we're trying for a girl. Then we have a girl. It's like, okay, you got your girl. You going to stop now? No. You know, and I always tell people the same thing. There's no end in sight. And I always say, well, which of my children do you wish I wouldn't have had? Or I say, well, I like all the children that I have, so might as well have another one. You know, and by the way, if you rear your children right, they're a blessing. Now, if you raise them on Barney and Friends, Sesame Street, and Time Outs, and put them on Ritalin, you know, and send them to the public fool system, then, you know, they're probably going to vex your spirit for the rest of your life. And you probably can't handle more than one or two. But, you know, if you raise your children and bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, they are really a blessing. And honestly, you have children. Many people in the room have children. You know the children are the greatest blessing in your life. You know, they bring great enjoyment and great joy and blessing to your life. And so they are really the best blessing that God gives us, you know. And so we don't look at it as a burden or something that is to be dreaded. Oh no, another one. Another mouth to feed, you know. Because it gets to the point where they're eating a whole 12-inch at Subway. You know, and a couple of my boys are to that point. You know? And they eat and they eat and they eat. It's like, it's literally like locusts. Somebody will bring home some meal and you lay out all this food and you're like, oh, it's going to last. It's like, you know, it's just gone. It's true. Look at them back there. They're like locusts now. I mean, they eat it up. And I'm telling you, you go, you know, it's like, cha-ching, taking your family. I mean, you go out to eat, and it's like, party of eight. Oh, wow, you know, it's a big group. No, it's just my family. I mean, it's amazing today how people have had their philosophy so changed toward children according to this world. You know, that it's basically a burden, and it's hard, and everything like that. But look at Genesis 24:60. Because children are not a burden. Children are a blessing, according to the Bible. And that's what God tells us here in Genesis 24:60. Now, this is basically Laban and the rest of his family. Laban is sending his sister Rebecca to go be Isaac's wife. And so him and their family and the rest of them, they're all sending Rebecca off. And basically, you know, they're kind of having a party and a celebration, and they're going to give gifts and so forth in order to send her off. And so, you know, sometimes you'll have like a baby shower or a bridal shower or a going away party for someone, right? And you give them a card, right, with some kind words. Hey, congratulate. Boy, we hope, you know, when you got married recently, you probably got some things that said, hey, we wish you a long and happy life together, you know, or a wonderful, blessed marriage, right? Those are the kind of blessings that you give unto people at events like that, at a wedding. And then going away, hey, God's going to bless you in the state that you're moving unto. You know, that's pretty common, right? Well, that's what's going on here. They're basically sending off Rebecca, and this is what they write in her greeting card, as it were. Genesis 24:60 says, and they blessed Rebecca and said unto her, thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions. And let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. Now, did you know that that is the biggest number in the whole Bible? If you want to look at all the numbers in the Bible, Genesis 24:60 contains the biggest number in the whole Bible. Thousands of millions, which is over 2 billion. 2 billion. Now, can you imagine today writing that card? You know, so young people are getting married. You know, for example, Matt and Shanae, you know, here you go. Be thou the mother, Shanae, of thousands of millions. I hope that one day your seed will number billions. You know, and that'd be pretty cool to have billions of descendants. Thousands of millions, you know. I remember I said to my grandfather one time, we had this big family get together, all kinds of cousins, aunts, and I looked at my grandfather and just said, just think you're responsible for all of this. You know, it was just like a big crowd of people. And he was an old man, and I said, look what you've done, you know. You're responsible for this whole group here, this whole crowd. But you know, that shows a different philosophy. That would be considered a blessing. To, hey, that's the best thing we can say to you. If we're going to say one thing to you, it's just be thou the mother of thousands of millions. Now stop for a second. I'm not saying that everybody has to have a big family. Because God's not going to give everybody a big family. You know what I mean? And look, let's talk about this exact person, Rebecca. How many children did God bless Rebecca with?
Two.
And if you remember, they told her, be thou the mother of thousands of millions. But she was barren. She married Isaac, and for 20 years she had no child. And she prayed, and Isaac prayed, and for 20 long years this blessing was pretty hollow. They said, we can't even have one child. You know, and God doesn't always do things the way that we think He's going to do them, or in the timing that we think. A lot of people today have trouble having children. And they wonder, can we have children? And usually they run to a doctor, you know, or they run to some scientific procedure. A lot of it, you know, of course, I've exposed IVF and other things. But you see, they ought to wait on the Lord. Because Rebecca waited for 20 years. And after 20 years, God answered her prayer. Not with a family of 6 children or 10 children or 12 children, just one set of twins. She was pregnant with one set of twins, Jacob and Esau. And she had those 2 children, and that's all God gave her. All God gave Sarah was just one, just Isaac. So I'm not saying God's always going to bless everyone with a huge amount of children. You know, I'm not telling you how many children to have, but I'm saying have as many as God gives you.
Amen.
That's what I'm saying. And don't try to limit that. You know, have what God blesses you with and look at it as a blessing, okay? The Bible teaches here that it's a blessing to have a lot of children. Look at Psalm 127. Psalm 127. So this is something that God is telling us to do with our lives. Have children. Okay, now let's get into the fourth big lie. So we've hit up three of the main lies here. Well, God doesn't tell you in the Bible. He doesn't say one way or the other. Well, he's saying a lot about it, actually. Well, you know, the environment, carbon footprint, you know, carbon credits, you know, green economy, green jobs, you know. And by the way, okay, and then the other lie was that you can't afford it. Let me come back to the one on you can't afford it. Guess what happens if you don't have children? You end up giving all your money to the government in taxes. Seriously. I mean, I pay way less taxes because I have six children. I mean, those write-offs, you know, when my child was due in December, I was praying, even so, come quickly. I said, hey, if this child's born in January, I'm going to lose that write-off. I want this to be a December baby. You know, I feel bad for your parents, Brother Chris. Weren't you a baby New Year? Right? You born on January 1st? I feel bad for your parents. But, you know, that write-off is huge. It's a tax credit. I mean, they literally get, you get a tax credit. It's thousands and thousands of dollars. And people today are lining the government's pockets because they think they can't afford children. The same money that they would have spent to raise that child, they give it to the government.
Yep.
I'd rather raise my children than to give it all to the government.
Amen.
To do horrible things with. And so, you know, it's either give it to the government or raise children with it. Let me think. I think I'll have more children. You know, and that's not, and obviously God's going to provide. I'm just talking humanly speaking here. And by the way, having children doesn't cost as much as you think. You don't have to have a separate nursery room for every child that's born and painted, you know, pink and then change it to blue. And you know, you don't have to have like a $600 crib. Somebody bought us a baby crib. You know what we used it for? A laundry hamper. Our kid never slept one night in that crib. It became a laundry hamper. Because we just had the child just laid in bed with us, you know? And it was like, we had a big bed and we didn't even need it. You know, and you get all kinds of, you know, when it's your first child, you got swings, you got three different high chairs for one child, you know? You got five different strollers, you know? You got all this gear that you don't need. And that's like, man, it's really expensive, you know? You buy, yeah, when you're going to Carter's, you know, and buying a $30 shirt that's this big, you know, yeah, that's expensive. But, you know, we go to the thrift store, we get the hand-me-downs, free cycle. You know, you don't have to live high on the hog, folks. You can just, all you got to do, you know, the thing doesn't even need a bite of food for the first year. You just got to feed your wife, you know. The child gets fed, that's it. You know, it's okay. And so it's not as expensive as you think. Put some clothes on the kid's back. And put the breast in its mouth and you're good to go. You know, it's done. Solved. You know, later on they'll be eating an entire pizza. You know, but the first year you're good to go. Where did I even turn? Psalm 127? It says in verse 3, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward." That's a way for God to reward you and bless you, is to make you fruitful. You know, and hey, maybe you only have one child. God can make that child a blessing. You know, I'm sure Abraham felt like Isaac was a great blessing. I mean, he was a great man of God, great righteous son. You know, one son like that would be a great blessing. Or one daughter, you know, could be a great blessing. You know, I remember it was told unto Naomi, hey, your daughter-in-law Ruth is better than 10 sons. You know, so sometimes a daughter or a son can be a great blessing. Maybe God will bless you with multitudes of thousands of millions, you know. But the bottom line is, whatever it is, it's a blessing. Keep reading. It says, verse 4, "As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." Hey, happy is the man that's got a full house, you know, children. That's what God says. A little different than the world's perspective, isn't it? A little different than what the world will tell you. Let me give you the next lie. The next lie is this. Well, having children is going to hinder you from serving God like you should. This is one that was taught to me in Bible college. They get up in the Bible college and say, you know, if you're going to go out and start a church, you know, you need to make sure that you don't have too many children. You know, you're not going to be able to pay for all those children and start a church. Well, you know, you need to limit that. And everybody at this college I was at pretty much had two kids. It was pretty much an us four no more mentality. It was pretty much the token two kids and so forth. And I turn to Lamentations. I'm going to blow past this point just for sake of time. I don't want to spend too much time on this because I'm running out of time. There's so many lies out there that the devil's using to try to get God's people not to multiply. And really just to even get the human race in general not to multiply, you know, because they have this warped view of the environment. Lamentations 4, I'm going to get to in a second, but I just want to touch on this lie. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. This lie of, well, you can't serve God as much because you're too busy with, you know, paying for all these children. And you know, yeah, you got to work. You're going to work more hours to pay for those children. You know, it's going to take time to carry them and diaper them train them and spend time with them. You know, I want to spend time with my children. But you know what? I can serve God more by having children. And let me tell you why. Because there's only so much one man can do. One man can only do so much. There's only so many souls that I can preach the gospel into. I have limitations of a human being. There's only so much I can do. But what if I can raise 6 people to grow up and do what I do? I've just multiplied my effort by 6. Stop and think about that. I mean, how foolish it is to say, well, I'm just going to devote all my time. I don't have time to have children or anything, you know. I don't know what, you know, Rebecca's family was talking about. You know, I don't have time for that. I'm just going to go out and just go soul winning and just do it all and serve God and build a church and do all. No. If I can bring forth after my own kind, if I can physically multiply and my 6 children and whatever else God blesses me with beyond that, and train them to be like me, I have multiplied my efforts. It'll be all the souls I win, and then all the souls they win. And I've multiplied it. And 7 people can do more than 1. Period. And if I can bring them up and raise them to serve God, I will get more done. And so it's better than to sit there and say, well, I'm going to do it all by myself. You can't do it all yourself. There's only, you know, one person can only do so much. But if I can multiply my efforts, I can do so much more for God by raising children. And plus, one day I'll be dead and gone. They will still be on this earth. Chances are, I mean, they'll live on this earth for 20 years after I'm gone, still winning souls to Christ, still preaching the word, still serving God. That's faith. That's believing God's plan. I don't want to spend any more time on that because I have one more lie to deal with, the final lie here. Lamentations chapter 4. This is a pretty interesting verse. I like this verse. Lamentations 4, verse 3. It says, even the sea monsters draw out the breath. You say, well, I didn't know that the Bible mentioned sea monsters. Okay. Well, you know, you learn something new by being in church tonight. It says, even the sea monsters draw out the breath. They give suck to their young ones. The daughter of my people has become cruel like the ostriches in the wilderness. Now, did you know that the largest animal on planet Earth right now, the largest animal on planet Earth is a blue whale? Right? Blue whales are huge. You have no idea. It's because, you know, sometimes you go to the Sea World and the zoo, you see whales. Those are not the big ones. You know, what you see, the killer whale, the orca, it's more like a glorified dolphin, my friend. You know, compared to the really serious, I mean a real whale. And I'm talking about the sperm whale, the blue whale. These are the real whales. I mean, we're talking about hundreds of feet long. I mean, we're talking about as long as a football field they've grown to be. I mean, we're talking about huge whales. The Bible even mentions in Genesis 1, when it talks about him creating the animals, it says, you know, God created great whales. That's on one end of the spectrum for huge size. I mean, bigger than dinosaurs. Whales. Whales are huge. They're gigantic creatures. And that's what God's talking about here when he talks about the sea monsters who draw out the breast. Because whales are mammals. Right? Whales actually breastfeed their young. They do not just like a normal fish, live a cold-blooded existence, and they are a kind of fish, obviously, but it's a fish that is a mammal that actually, you know, I call it a fish, but the Bible calls it a fish. Mr. Science Nerd. I don't have my glasses. So here we go. You know, a little science nerd. You know, it's not a fish. It's a mammal. You know, I tell you. But you know what? If God calls it a fish, I'm gonna call it a fish. That's just some made up name, some arbitrary. It's not a fish. Look, it's got flippers and swims around in the water, my friend. I'm gonna call it a fish. David Spergel might not agree with me. But the bottom line is this. God knew here, the Bible is very scientifically accurate. So the Bible tells us, hey, the sea monsters draw out the breast and give suck unto their young. They do produce milk, which is what makes them a mammal, okay, in the world's terminology. Although it's a giant fish that breastfeeds its young and is warm-blooded. Now, what does that have to do with anything? Well, the Bible says here, even the sea monsters draw out the breast. They give suck to their young ones. The daughter of my people is become cruel like the ostriches in the wilderness. So he's contrasting here the daughter of God's people with the sea monster. He said, well, even the sea monster draws out the breast and gives suck to its young one. But the daughter of my people is become cruel like the ostriches in the wilderness. Go to Job. Let's see what the ostrich does. Let's compare the ostrich, because God is telling us to look unto the ostrich here. Because he says, well, you know, the daughter of my people, unlike the sea monster who draws out the breast and gives suck to her young, has become like the ostrich in the wilderness. Let's look at that. That's in Job chapter number 39. Job chapter 39.
14.
Yeah, thank you. Sometimes when I'm preaching, the problem is that I have all these notes, but then all this other better stuff comes into my mind, and so I want to go to the verse, and I kind of think I know where they're at, but I have to sometimes find them. But Job 39:14 says, or let's start with verse 13. It says, gavest thou the goodly wings unto the peacocks, or wings and feathers unto the what? So that's the animal we're talking about, okay? Which leaveth her eggs in the earth, and warmeth them in the dust, and forgetteth that the foot may crush them, or that the wild beast may break them. She is hardened against her young ones, as though they were not hers. Her labor is in vain without fear, because God hath deprived her of wisdom, neither hath he imparted to her understanding. God says here, the ostrich is a stupid animal. God has deprived it of wisdom. Let me tell you, ostriches are one of my favorite animals, by the way. If I ever go to any kind of a zoo, that's one of the things I always make sure to look at is the ostrich exhibit. I love ostriches. I think they're really cool. I mean, they're huge birds, and they have the weird eyelids going sideways sometimes. And they're just a really neat animal. And I'm always trying to stick my hand through the fence and kind of get it to bite me. And with that weird beak. I think ostriches are one of the coolest animals in this world. But they're stupid. They're dumb. They don't have wisdom. They don't have intelligence. And this is what they do. They give birth to a young one. An egg that has a child inside of it. Not a child, but good night. I'm not one of those. I don't think animals are children. You know, I'm preaching against environmentalism tonight. It gives birth to the young, I don't know, ostrich chick, right? You know, what do you think? We'll call it the young ostrich chick in the egg. And it buries it in the sand. And then it forgets about it. It forgets that it even has kids. It has kids, and the God says it just forgets about it. It doesn't think about the fact that somebody might step on it or an animal might eat it. It's just, you know, whatever. Can't even fly, you know? So, basically, it's hardened, the Bible says, against her young ones as though they were not hers, because God is deprived. So God says this is the bad example of a mother. The ostrich mother. The good example is the sea monster mother, okay, that breastfeeds its child. Here's the, you say, what in the world does this have to do with anything? It's pretty cool, though. It's pretty interesting. But what in the world does this have to do with the sermon tonight? Well, there's just one more lie that I want to touch on tonight. And that lie is this. Well, if you don't go to Walgreens, you know, and get all your birth control, you're going to have children every 9 months. Now look, I'll be the first to tell you, having children every 9 months is not healthy. Okay, that's not what a woman's body is designed to do. You know, and there are women, I've known people personally, where they're having a child every 10 months or 11 months or so. You know, who's ever heard the term Irish twins? You know, that's when you have two children in the same year, two different pregnancies. That's called Irish twins. Like you have one in January, one in December. Hey, that's not healthy. That's not healthy for a woman's body. And the devil's lie here, and the lie that you'll hear people say is, well, if you don't use birth control pills and weirdo devices from Walgreens, you know, in the sleaze aisle, you know, if you don't get that stuff, you're going to have children every 9 months. You're going to have children, you know, every 10 months, and your wife's uterus is going to fall out. That's not true. It's a lie. Because listen to me, my children are 2 years apart. Look at them. I mean, let me give you the ages of my children. The oldest is going on 10, and then there are 8, 6, 4, 2, and 0. That's my 2-month-old. So my children are 9, 8, 6, 4, 2, 0. Do you see a pattern there? And guess what? Zero birth control. None. And guess what else? No abstinence method. Abstinence is for teenagers in the public school, my friend. Not for a married man. Okay? So, this is not abstinence method. This is not a bunch of weird stuff from Walgreens. We don't use any birth control. You say, Pastor Anderson, it's a miracle. No. It's what God created a woman's body to do. Because it's you know, and I don't have time to go into all the science, and I don't really desire to go into all the science from behind the pulpit here. This is not a science lecture on breastfeeding. But actually, the method by which my children are spaced is through breastfeeding. Literally, if a woman just breastfeeds her child, did you know that God was smart enough in His wisdom to create a woman's body that, well, and you know, there's a lot more to it than that. You know, study it and understand, you know, how to breastfeed your child properly, you know. But if you go through just a normal pattern of breastfeeding your child, women can't get pregnant while they're exclusively breastfeeding if certain rules are followed. And certain, you know, God designed women that way because God knew that it's not healthy to give birth every 9 months. You know, you got to give the body a rest and women's body a rest. But God already thought of that, friend. God is smarter than that. Even before there ever was a Walgreens or a Rite Aid or a CVS, God had already thought of all of this. And God designed women's bodies. And I'm telling you right now, my children are naturally spaced about 2 years apart with zero intervention, not abstinence, not natural family planning and all this other, you know, birth control type stuff. None of it. And so God's encouraging women here, not the ostrich method, but the sea monster method. You know? And you know, maybe I've coined a new phrase tonight. Sea monster child rearing. You know, sea monster infant care. You know, that's what I call it. And so, the bottom line is here, God thought of everything. I hope I've helped debunk some of these lies for you. You're not going to have a child every 9 months if you don't go to Walgreens. You can do God's method here of just draw out the breast, give suck to the young as the sea monster, and you're good to go. You know, and again, you know, learn more from experienced women. And by the way, the Bible says that the older women in the church should teach the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children. You know, and these are the type of things that knowledge used to be passed on from women unto younger women. Hey, here's how to breastfeed the child. Here's how to keep from getting pregnant, you know, naturally and normally the way God intended. Here's how to, you know, do this and that. You know, that's the kind of wisdom that should be passed down from the older women in the church unto the younger. That kind of homemaking skill and natural health there. Okay. You can afford it. You're not gonna ruin Al Gore's plan for the next billion years on Earth, you know, of this planet. You know, God's in it. It's not gonna hold you back from serving God. I think it'll make you serve God more. You know, because you'll be motivated to lead your family and lead your children. And so I don't want to go on and on. It's been a long sermon. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for your word, dear God. You truly do have all the answers. Real science. Real good zoology tonight from the Bible. And God, just help us to let it sink down and learn these things. And And to just get out of the world's philosophy, just to get your philosophy, dear God, that children are a blessing, to love them and cherish them and view them for the blessing that they are. Help us to have the faith, dear God. It's going to take some faith in today's economy, but help us to have the faith to continue to have children for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.